This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Made it to hour two on the program. Come on in, stay a while. Gang's all here. And of course, the top story of the day, the Broncos are releasing their all-pro safety, Justin Simmons, to clear salary cap. It's according to Ian Rappaport and Todd Fritz, who let us know, because this might have slipped by. We got it, and they have released the all-pro safety, Justin Simmons.
No Super Bowl for Denver this year?
No. This will pretty much cement that. No Russell Wilson. He is a good player. I mean, a very good player. We're starting to see more and more of these. It feels like defensive backs are the ones being released. Seattle did that. Jamal Adams. We can credit Seattle for the Russell Wilson thievery, that haul. But then I also have to criticize Seattle gave up two first-round picks and also paid a lot of money to Jamal Adams, and he turned out to be a bust for them. And then Buffalo got rid of a couple players in their secondary. So Mike Tannenbaum, former front office executive, will join us coming up a little bit. We'll talk to him. We had Chris Sims. He was all fired up about his latest mock draft. Drake May had probably not in the first round, sixth best quarterback in the draft, according to him. And he's certainly in love with Caleb Williams. Says it's not even a question that Chicago should be running to the podium to draft Caleb Williams. And then Jaden Daniels is in there. And he's got Bo Nix, J.J. McCarthy, and Michael Penix Jr. as well. Oh boy, hand size. The numbers have been released. Official hand size.
Oh boy.
Can this, I don't think this can wait, Paulie. This is like Justin Simmons being released by the Broncos.
Yeah, I'd hate to get scooped on the hand size.
Yeah, okay, all right.
Where would you like to start, at the top of the draft or by hand size? It's your discretion. How about we'll play guess.
Can you do by hand size?
Yeah, I'll do the hand size.
Smallest to largest?
Okay, I'll give you the hand size. You guess the quarterback.
Oh.
I'll give you the candidates so no one's...
Okay.
The candidates, of course, are Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix Jr., Bo Nix. There are others, but unless they have a monstrous hand size, they're not making my list.
Okay, or really small hand size.
Correct.
Okay.
So I'll throw out a hand size.
Right.
Oh, boy. This is pejorative. 10.5 inches. 10 inches plus 1/2 inch. So 10 1/2 inches,
okay.
Which is quite above average.
Okay.
10.5 inches. Whose hands are those?
Penix.
Correct. Bloop, bloop, bloop.
Yeah.
Michael Penix Jr. also has big hands.
Yeah, if you got it, you're carrying that last name, you got massive hands.
Yep.
Facts.
3 years into making that joke. So Michael Penix Jr.
He got big Penix energy,
yeah.
Right?
Also, the longest wingspan at 81 inches. I don't know if that matters.
It's going to matter to somebody.
The Washington quarterback is 6'2 and a quarter, 216 pounds.
Okay.
I'll go now to a little lower end on the hand size.
All right.
9 1/8 inches, which is well below average.
Mm.
Almost Marvin-esque, as they say at the draft.
That's got Drake May written all over it.
Seton, you're good.
Oh, Drake May.
Do I know my hand sizes or what?
You're incredible.
He's been a faller lately, so.
Yeah, Seton, you were the former lowest hand size guy on the staff.
Yeah.
This was your expert witness. Yeah. Drake May.
Well, that makes sense, though, because Seton was always looking at guys' hands because he wanted to compare his hands to theirs.
And that's why Seton hired Marvin years ago.
Yes. Because we said, why are you hiring Marvin? And now we realize because
I
Marvin
made a big
had,
push to have Marvin be the guy that come on the show.
Marvin had smaller hands than Seton.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have any skills, but that's why I think he said, we got to get Marvin on the show. And I go, okay. Yes, Marvin.
I got to use the bathroom.
Okay.
Can I just leave for about 10 minutes?
Yeah.
All right.
You want to. I'm playing chess here, fellas.
Whoa.
I'm playing checkers.
Okay.
Drake May, 6'4 and a half.
Right.
Big fella at 223. 9 1/8 inches on the hands. That's horrendous.
Mm.
He's got to work on that.
Can't draft him, cold weather team.
All right, let's go. Oh, no. Let's see. How about this? Non-available would not measure.
Caleb Williams.
Nope. Non-available did not do the measurements, or the measurements are not in. Are they in question? We don't know.
Oh, J.J. Nicks. McCarthy.
Jaden Daniels. N.A.
What's he hiding? What's he hiding?
Big hands, small hands?
Okay. Okay. All right, go ahead.
So no, not available. Not,
we're gonna, NA.
9 3/4 inch hands. That is about average in the past 10 years, checking my
chart. That feels like J.J. McCarthy.
Caleb Williams, 6'1 1/8".
Ooh.
6'1 1/8", not that tall. 214 pounds, 9 3/4 inch hand size. I got a couple more for you.
We got Bo Nix and J.J. McCarthy.
Okay. 10 1/8 inches, a little above average.
That feels Bo Nix.
Bo Nix is correct.
Yeah, feels Bo Nix.
6'2 1/8", 214 for the Oregon gunslinger, as they like to say.
Slanger.
All right.
Now, we triple checked this so we didn't besmirch anyone's hands.
Okay.
9 inches even hand size.
Ooh, J.J. McCarthy.
J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah.
His little mittens.
Yeah. His little Michigan mittens.
His state looks like a mitten. So he's...
Little Wolverine hands.
Yeah.
He's 6'2 1/2", 219. That's a thack dude, but only 9-inch hands. Again, he has time to improve on that.
Maybe that's why they didn't throw it that often in Michigan.
Going off the board, the only other guy with hands above average, Joe Milton of Tennessee. He's a big fella. 6'5", 235, 10 1/2 inch hands.
Okay. All right. You go, Joe.
I'll keep an eye on these stories.
I think he threw the ball 70 yards at the combine, too.
Now...
Okay. I don't know what that means. He threw it 70.
How often do you do that?
Not very often. Usually at the end of a half or a game. I was always amazed. Who was the quarterback that the game was on the line? It was last play, but he couldn't throw it like 50, 55 yards. Do you remember that? Where they had to bring in a designated quarterback or thrower?
I'm almost sure it happened in a Patriot game with Mac Jones and Bailey Zappi. I think Zappi went in for a Hail Mary at half.
Yeah.
I think there might be someone else as well.
Okay. All right. Oh, by the way, I forgot. I jumped right into this. Good morning if you're watching on Peacock. Our radio partners around the country. Operator Tyler sitting by to take your phone calls. We'll have a poll question for hour two. Mike Tannenbaum works with the Mothership, the former front office executive. We'll talk to him about all these cuts here, salary cap cuts, including what Buffalo did. Seattle's done. Denver's doing as well. All right. Big fight announced. Mike Tyson is coming back, and he's going to fight Jake Paul, and that'll be at Texas Stadium?
Yeah, July 20th. Nice little part of summer where there's some openings.
Okay. I'm curious how much boxing Mike does, because Jake Paul seems to be boxing, I don't know, once every couple of months. And Jake Paul has, he handpicks the right people. But to get Mike in the ring, all right.
He's beat some real boxers. They're retired, but they've been real boxers that he's fought. Like guys like Shane Mosley and a couple others. I mean, these are some serious fighters in their day.
Yeah, in their day.
In their day.
In their day.
But considering a guy who's a video creator who became a boxer.
Yeah.
I hate this fight for him.
For him?
For Mike Tyson.
Oh, why? If Mike would happen to lose? This is sort of like when Muhammad Ali fought a wrestler.
Oh, yeah. Japanese wrestler? No.
Yeah, Japanese wrestler. That was not good. I watched that documentary again. What is it? When We Were Kings. And it's about Ali and Foreman in Africa and everything that was involved with it. And they did that chant, Ali Bumbaye. Mm. And that's what they chanted when Ali came in to Jersey City or Atlantic City when I was there for a Mike Tyson fight. And he came in and the crowd, you just heard the chanting, Ali Bumbaye. And he came in to the auditorium there, the arena, and it were just all these people, and Ali was out front, and they were all cheering that way. And he was just there to watch the fight, but they were chanting Ali Bumbaye. And then you got that when Ali is fighting George Foreman, and Foreman got cut, I think an accidental elbow in sparring, and so they had to postpone the fight for like 6 weeks. James Brown is there performing. Like Don King, you know, he blew it out. He had all these artists there performing. Celebrities were there. They were in Zaire. And Ali, I mean, when you see Ali, when he is telling you and bragging and predicting, all of these other athletes who tried to do it, like you realize he is the OG. He was so unbelievably charismatic. And you see that where everybody was afraid of George Foreman. Everybody. They were like, oh my God, Ali is going to get killed. And this is, 1974. And it got to the point where Ali didn't want to wait around for George Foreman. And he said, reach out to Joe Frazier. Let me fight Joe Frazier again. I'll give him $1 million to come over here and fight me. Well, obviously they wait. And then you start to watch the rope-a-dope and what Ali... I don't know. And the only time I was around Muhammad twice, and he wasn't speaking then, but I wanted to know if I had one question to ask him, it was, at what point did you realize that was going to be your strategy? Because I can't imagine that he discussed that strategy with anybody in his corner. He leaned on the ropes. Like Foreman had learned to corner somebody, cut off the ring. And Ali let him do that to him. And here is the hardest puncher maybe in the history of boxing, him and Ernie Shavers. And Foreman is just pummeling Ali with body shots. And Ali is taking these blows. And all he's doing is he's tiring out George Foreman. Because if you watch and you're going, oh, my God, they got to stop this. And Ali had that game plan, which is remarkable. I can't imagine he said to his corner, hey, I'm going to let him punch me as many times as he wants. He's going to tire out. And that's going to be my game plan. And that's exactly what he did. And, you know, George never recovered from that because George was invincible. You know, like Mike Tyson, I don't think he ever really recovered from Buster Douglas because you're like invincible. Now all of a sudden you're not. So it's not like you walk down the street and they go, man, it's baddest man alive. It's like, man, he got knocked out by Buster Douglas. Ali took away something from George Foreman that night. And only boxers would be able to explain that, I guess, or feel that or understand that. But you can see it. Ali got crushed on purpose. And then George tired. And then Ali knocked him out. Yeah, Paul.
And you're right about that. I've watched that fight on YouTube before. The announcers don't know the strategy. Like in the moment, the announcer's like, this is bad. Ali's getting roughed up. Someone should stop this. Someone should end it. And then that last round starts and Ali just comes alive and just starts popping him. And it's like, it was like a swarm of bees hit Foreman.
And of all the boxing matches that you can watch, and I got to see Tyson fight a lot, Sugar Ray Leonard a lot, Roberto Duran, Alexis Arguello, Aaron Pryor, Boom Boom Mancini. So I got to see Vito Anafirmo. I got to see a lot of these fights because I was in New York. But I didn't get to see Ali Frazier because I was in high school. I wasn't, working in sports. But that fight in Zaire is the one that I would have loved to have been at. Just to understand the magnitude. Because Ali had the whole country on his side. He was basically saying, I'm fighting for you. George Foreman's not fighting for you. And he just kind of captivated that audience, and they were all on his side. But when you see Ali against the ropes, and you're going, Who would ever think to have that philosophy with the strongest puncher, a guy who was invincible, and you're going to take everything he's got, and then you're going to tire him out? Yeah, Paul.
Before we break, you asked about quarterbacks who did not throw Hail Marys, had someone to fill in.
Yeah.
Jacoby Brissett did it a few times with the Colts when Andrew Luck was having some shoulder issues.
Oh, okay.
And I guess it happened once or twice with Ryan Fitzpatrick for Tua down in Miami.
Oh, okay.
A couple people pointed that out.
Yeah, you would think you would be able to throw it a good 55 yards, 60 yards. That would come with the position. But I never understood that. You throw a Hail Mary and it goes out of the end zone, which means nobody has a chance, or you don't even get it to the end zone. Now, at least if you don't get it to the end zone, it's still in the field of play. Maybe there's a ricochet. But when somebody would throw those Hail Marys and they go out of the end zone, I go, wait, what are you doing? Like, that doesn't serve anybody here. All right. Poll question, Seton, for hour two is going to be what?
Let's see, Dan. Right now we've got up there, would Caleb Williams be better off sitting a year in the NFL? Mm-hmm. Right now, 66%, 67% of the audience say yes.
Oh.
Which is interesting.
Okay.
And then Ryan Leaf's comments on Caleb Williams were smart and measured or crazy. 74% of the audience say they're smart and measured.
Wow.
Let's go.
All righty.
All right, audience.
Oh, this just in. Carl Anthony Towns has a torn meniscus in his left knee, out indefinitely. Shams is reporting that. So Carl Anthony Towns and the Timberwolves, I think they might be in first place in the West. I think them and Oklahoma City kind of been battling for that a little bit. All right, we'll get phone calls coming up. We'll talk to Mike Tannenbaum, former front office executive, also working for the mothership. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at dpshow. It's March, and it's merchandise. It's merchandise.
Merchandise.
Merchandise is what we're going with.
Okay.
New hats, hoodies, and you got Marvin's great t-shirt there, danpatrick.com. Some of the best-selling flavors of Tailgate Moonshine available as well. Let's take a break. We'll be back right after this.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of the 5th Hour with Ben Maller. It would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is the 5th Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of the Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to the 5th Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
We know that quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for you and your partner whenever you want. Two beds in one. firmer or softer on each side? You decide. And it helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature as well, quiets their snoring, so you stay sleeping comfortably all night long. Sleep Number does everything. My Sleep Number setting is 75. Sleep Number smart beds learn how you sleep. They provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. You will never need another bed. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Mike Tannenbaum will join us, former GM, now working for the mothership. Paulie, do you have the smallest hand size ever measured at the combine for a quarterback?
Oh, geez, of course we do. You want to guess it? It's the all-time winner, Kenny Pickett, is emeritus, 8.5 inches.
Are those the smallest hands that have been measured at the combine?
There are two that were similar.
Okay.
One was smaller. I'm going to give you the smallest because there's no way you're going to guess it. A kid named Kevin Davidson out of Princeton. 8 1/4 inch hands, Marvin. Ooh,
and he never made it.
No. Smart kid, small hands.
Yeah, he's probably a hedge fund guy worth a couple of billion dollars.
I've only got one other quarterback. Okay. I'm going to call him quarterback slash many other positions, who had hand size that measured under 9 inches. He is currently still in the NFL.
Oh, I was going to say Antoine Randall L.
He's played quarterback and many other positions.
Hmm.
He is known for running the ball out of the quarterback position. And passing a little bit in spots.
Hmm.
Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill, 8 3/4 inch hands.
And he somehow made it.
BYU.
Got.
Ow! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! This is the stat of the day!
Yeah, the hand size measurements came in from the combine, and I don't know if anybody stood out for good or bad. Michael Penix Jr. III had the biggest hand size, I think, there at the combine. J.J. McCarthy had the smallest hands. Did he have the smallest hands of that group?
It's confirmed, yeah.
Okay, thank you. Woody in Pittsburgh. Hey, Woody, what's on your mind?
How are you, gentlemen? 6'2", skinny fat, 250.
All right.
I am a lifelong Bears fan. First thing, Jim McMahon doesn't get the recognition he deserves. Had Charles Martin not ragdolled him, I think, you know, he would have had a very good career. And, you know, we don't have to go back to Sid Luckman for that. But you guys hit it right on the head. I don't understand why we just don't draft Caleb Williams. Keep Justin Fields. Let's put the franchise tag on him if we have to. And Justin Fields would look pretty good in that Taysom Hill role if he'd ever accept it. And those guys get paid pretty well, too, don't they?
Taysom Hill got paid, got overpaid. Mike Tannenbaum, former front office executive and now working for the mothership, joining us on the program. Trying to understand the smokescreen days here leading up to the draft, what's real and what's not. What are the Bears waiting for?
Dan, they should make this trade ASAP. You know, Ryan Poles, their general manager, did an unbelievable job last year. Got, obviously, King's ransom wanted with the first pick again. But every day that goes by, Dan, it's obviously not the market he had hoped, and he needs to cut his losses and get a deal done as soon as possible.
What do you think Justin Fields is worth?
I would give a third-round pick. If I'm the Pittsburgh Steelers, I would pair him right away with Arthur Smith, who had great success with Ryan Tannehill in Tennessee. I think Justin Fields' skill set is very similar. He'll have better weapons in Pittsburgh than he ever had in Chicago.
Caleb Williams can't miss, in your opinion?
No, 82 sacks. He had, I believe it was 23 fumbles, and those are things that are definitely a concern. I think 60% of the NFL is going to like Caleb Williams one, and the rest 20% will be Jaden Daniels, 20% will be Drake May. So I like Caleb Williams, but those other two are closing fast.
All right, how does that work, though? The Jaden Daniels and J.J. McCarthy, it feels like they're getting a lot of positives here. We haven't played any football in a few months, but how much should this count of what's happening off the field as opposed to what they actually did on the field?
Yeah, I think what's happening, Dan, is like if you put J.J. McCarthy in LSU's offense and put Jaden Daniels in Michigan's offense, their statistics would look very similar to what the other has. Not saying identical, but similar. J.J. McCarthy was incredibly efficient, doesn't turn the ball over, can make all the throws. And I think, especially when you look at his Indy workout, I wouldn't put it in the class of what C.J. Stroud did a year ago, but it was excellent. And I think teams are taking like another look at what J.J. McCarthy was asked to do and how well he did it.
Wow. Well, first of all, he can't run like Jaden Daniels.
No, but he's built to last. I love Jaden Daniels, but he went to Arizona State. He was a 180-pound freshman. And if you and I were running an NFL team, Dan, we would have to ask ourselves, would this player be able to withstand the rigors of a 17-game season?
Well, we said that about Bryce Young as well.
Yeah, and the grade we could give him right now is a grade of incomplete. And Bryce Young looked at times last year, looked small. I think Bryce Young is still going to be a good player, but it's a very fair concern.
But also, we had Ryan Leaf on yesterday, and Ryan said it, if he was the Bears, he'd draft Caleb Williams, but he would sit him that first year and let him sort of absorb the NFL and kind of figure out what you can and can't do. As a former GM, what do you think of that philosophy?
I'm 100% on board. What's the rush here? We want these guys to be great for the next 10 years, not the next 10 minutes. And for all the wrong reasons, the fact that Anthony Richardson sat last year is really great. You never want to see a player get hurt. But letting them sit, I don't understand what the rush is. We had Chad Pennington sit for 2 years. We saw Patrick Mahomes sit for a year behind Alex Smith. What is the rush to play these guys?
Help us understand the running back dilemma. If you were a GM right now and you had your pick of any of these running backs, who would you take, or would you just try to find an Isaiah Pacheco?
Yeah, that one's easy for me. It's Saquon Barkley. Dan, his pass protection's got a lot better. 288 catches in his career so far. If I'm Dallas, I think he's bigger than Zeke and faster than Tony Pollard. And you know the old axiom, let's pass the score and run to win. I think Saquon to Dallas, plus you're hurting your division rival, makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, I've been saying that. It just feels like that's going to happen, but I think I'm basing that off of Jerry Jones, and it's a shiny object, and you know Jerry loves that. Now, he would help them, but how much are you paying Saquon Barkley? Does he get a 3-year deal?
I think it's $10 million a year. I think these running backs are just hurting each other when you have Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs out there, let alone, you know, A.J. Dillon. There's just more supply than there is demand right now.
Help us understand the Bills cutting, you know, a couple of defensive backs. Seattle's doing this. Denver just cut an all-pro safety. The cap went up. Why are these teams cutting these defensive backs?
Yeah, the threat is easy. It's quarterbacks. You know, Russell Wilson, they got to accommodate $85 million in dead money. Josh Allen is obviously at the top of the market. And with all these, as you mentioned, Xavier McKinney's out there, Cameron Curl, there's so many safeties out there. It's going to be a microcosm of the running back market where teams are going to say, you know what, if we have to go rent a guy in June, we'll go get a guy in June and plug him in for a year. It's just not a position we need to pay right now.
And it feels like Buffalo put even more pressure on Josh Allen. So your defense probably isn't going to be as good, and now you're asking Josh Allen to be even better.
I think really what they're saying is we're going to outscore you. We're going to be able to rush the passer. We're keeping Von Miller. We're going to pass rushers and offense, and that's who we're going to be. And we got Josh Allen, and we can't not give him what he needs to be successful. I think when you look at Tre'Davious White in particular, he's a great player. He's just been hurt. And who's to say they don't get him back later on? It's hard for me to think that a team's going to go pay Tre'Davious White coming off of the two injuries he's coming off of. So I think with some patience and maybe some good fortune, maybe they get back, you know, one or two of those players, you know, later in the offseason.
What would you tell Russell Wilson?
How much do you love football? You're going to make $300 million in your career, $39 million this year not to play. Do you want to go to a non-obvious place, Dan, such as San Francisco, the Rams, sit behind an established player for a year, or do you go off into the sunset? What's fascinating to me is we're going to learn how much he loves football in the coming weeks.
Okay, but so you would suggest maybe going and sit behind Matthew Stafford with Sean McVay as opposed to Atlanta or Pittsburgh?
Well, I think in those situations, they're hoping that you don't play because we're drafting, you know, fill in the blank, or trading for Justin Fields. I think go learn a new offense, get in the best shape of your life, and then resurrect yourself that way and take a year going under the limelight. You know, I think that would actually help him a little bit to sort of like take the noise down a bit.
I know you're busy. Thanks for joining us as always, Mike.
Really appreciate it, Dan. Thanks for having me.
That's Mike T. Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN front office insider. That's interesting. Now, I wouldn't suggest going to San Francisco because you have Brock Purdy, but I could understand going to the Rams. I think that helped, you know, Baker Mayfield when all of a sudden, you know, you get to see the game through different eyes, a different set of eyes, learn some things, figure out what you've been doing wrong. Yeah, Paul.
But could you imagine, I don't know who Russell Wilson's agent is, but his agent going, hey, how about this? You choose to sit behind a guy who also has one ring and is about the same age as you for a year. I'm not saying it's a bad idea, but I can't imagine an agent suggesting that to Russell. I think Russell thinks of himself like a star quarterback.
Well, he's still going to get paid.
Yes.
He's going to get paid. And if you, I guess you got to figure this out. Does going to the Rams as a backup quarterback change the perception of you? Because he's viewed as self-centered. It's about him. He's more than just a quarterback. He, you know, had an office. Denver gave him all this stuff, and then Denver went, wait, what did we give you? And then all of a sudden they're like, we need to get rid of this guy. He can still play. The numbers, those are better than average numbers, not for the amount of money that you're going to pay him. And I think that's where you have to, if it feels like Mike Tomlin would say to Russell Wilson, hey, dude, I'm gonna set you straight here. And I'm gonna make you a Hall of Famer, and maybe we get a chance to compete for a Super Bowl. But you have to follow me. Okay? I'm the coach. You follow me. And if you do that, I'm gonna resurrect your career. I don't know about Atlanta with Raheem Morris. You know, if Minnesota, Kirk Cousins, like, I don't know about those places. But Pittsburgh with Mike Tomlin, I'd feel pretty confident. But they haven't done a good job in getting quarterbacks in Pittsburgh. But this is a situation where you have a quarterback. He just needs almost like a mental reset. He needs to kind of go back to, let's be a team player. It's not about you. It's about us winning again. And if you listen to me, I'll make you a winner again. Let's see. Joe in Texas. Hi, Joe. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. First time, long time. Hey, Dan Epson, Fritzy. So I wanted to chime in on Caleb Williams' situation about sitting for a year.
Okay.
I'm 64. I just turned 64 on Leap Day. So I've been watching football. I'm a Niner fan. Hey, Marvin. I've watched quarterbacks be groomed, and back in the day, it was usually for a reason. They had a good quarterback, got him in the draft. He's good. He can sit like Rodgers and Mahomes and these guys. But who's Caleb going to have? I mean, if I'm going to go all in, got the first draft, first pick, and I'm going to get rid of Justin, I mean, you mentioned CJ being a rare commodity. Well, isn't Caleb? Pretty rare commodities. According to everybody in the media, at least most everybody, he's the greatest thing since peanut butter. And I take you guys like I do Google. If you say it, it's true. So I say you trade Justin and you put Caleb in, I go all in. We give it a try.
All right. I mean, you just heard Mike Tannenbaum. He said 100% agree with Ryan Leaf. I'd sit him. Why are we in the rush? Well, the reason we're in the rush is the team that drafted number one is usually a bad team. We want them to get better, quicker. We don't want to wait. Yes, Marv.
Do you put Caleb Williams as third string just in case the starting quarterback plays so awful where they're like, we have to put our second string in? But the plan is we're going to sit him the entire rookie season.
Okay, who's my quarterback? That's what I want to know. Are you keeping Justin Fields? And you're going to pay him $25 million? And then what? Are you hoping he plays really, really well, therefore you get a second-round pick for him instead of a third-round pick? Is it worth it to keep Justin Fields for one more year? It doesn't feel like there's a lot of, you know, trade opportunities out there for Justin Fields. And I think that's what Mike Tannenbaum is saying. Just let's go. Move on. Get rid of him now and then get ready to take Caleb Williams. I would just need to know, if Caleb's not starting, who is my quarterback that he's going to learn from? More importantly, that's what it is. Alex Smith was helping Patrick Mahomes. You had a veteran who had played at a very high level for the Niners as well. Yes, Pauline.
If you go back 3 years ago, you could find articles that suggest the Bears should do just that with Justin Fields. He's a run-first quarterback with great competitiveness and a questionable passer. When he came into the league, there's the reviews. The Bears should sit him for the whole rookie season. But you go back to like week four, and Andy Dalton and Nick Foles are fumbling around Soldier Field. And the Bears fans are like, we got to bring this kid in. He's exciting. Remember him in the Big Ten title game? Remember him in the playoffs? And the fans in the moment hate discipline. They want to get the guy in. And the Bears fans are like, bring him in week five. Let's go.
Yes. I mean, they don't have patience. But they've had patience for a long, long time in Chicago. Or they've been told, have patience. We got a new coach. We got a new GM. Oh, we got another new coach. Another new GM. New philosophy. Same result. Eric in Iowa. Hi, Eric. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. Want to backtrack a little bit to the hand size. And maybe have Pauly or Seton give the listeners a description of how you measure that, and then maybe listeners can call in with their own hand size.
Well, they've been doing that, whether they're measuring their hands correctly, but it's from the tip of the pinky to the tip of your thumb.
Yeah, and you could put it down on a piece of paper and kind of spread it out, stretch your hands, put a little mark down, then take a ruler.
Yeah, and then we did that with Ray. Ray, the intern, did that.
Don't let your boss catch you in the office doing it.
Yes, measuring your hands. Yeah, what are you doing over there, Skippy? Nothing. Now, I think if I had a cool boss, I'd say, I don't know. I'm just going to measure my hand size. You know, how about you, Tommy? How about you measure your hand size there?
So what are you guys working on?
Yeah.
just measuring our hands.
Wait, we got a big Zoom meeting tomorrow. I mean, we got a PowerPoint we got to get ready
for. Client proposal been?
HR comes walking down. Yeah, I heard you guys been measuring hands.
Hand size. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be great if you did a PowerPoint and all of a sudden somebody's hand was up there on the screen? It's like, that's not supposed to be there. Hand size. All right. We'll take it. Remember when guys would sit on the copier? They'd pull their pants down and they'd sit on the copying machine.
I missed that window.
Oh, my bad.
What, at the office?
No, this was like high school. Oh. Yeah, yeah.
You we guys, used to put our faces there.
Yeah, we did. Ooh, well, sorry about that.
Yeah, I hope I went first.
Yeah. cheek to cheek. Yeah. Let's take a break here. Back after this.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up, and you say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the Kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
You've probably put this off long enough. It's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has the tires that will elevate your game. Touring tires for commuting comfort. How about performance tires for sporty handling? All terrain if you're going on and off-road adventuring. Go to TireRack.com and get started. You're not sure where to begin? I suggest the easy-to-use tire decision guide. Get a personalized tire recommendation, the right tires for how and what and where you drive. Choose from the full lineup of Kumho tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you. Or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They bring the tires to your home or office and install them on site. Go to TireRack.com/Dan to see their Kumho test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews. And be sure to check out all the current special offers. Great tires and a great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Dan. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. Arnold Palmer Invitational starts today. Presented by MasterCard. You can watch on Golf Channel, NBC, and Peacock. Once again, the NBA news this morning. All-star Karl Anthony Towns diagnosed with a torn meniscus in his left knee, out indefinitely. Sources tell Shams. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at DP Show. You know, with the combine done, now all of a sudden you have these smokescreen season. You're not quite sure what teams are going to do. Try to get an indication. Somebody will tell you something. Are they telling you that just so you'll report it? And then it changes somebody else's opinion of what they're going to do. The draft certainly seems to revolve around J.J. McCarthy and Jaden Daniels. We know Caleb Williams will go one, but it feels like J.J. McCarthy is moving up, and some even have Jaden Daniels as the number one overall pick. McCarthy is now being considered a potential top 10 overall pick. He had been linked to the Broncos for at least the last 6 weeks in most of your mock drafts. I don't know if Sean Payton is going to have to move up to get him if he truly wants him. Drake May feels like he's starting to drop a little bit, and that might be a good thing for him because now there's a chance you'll go to a better team. You're going to lose money, but you'll go to a better team, and maybe you get to sit for a year or two. All right, a couple more phone calls in here. Larry in Illinois. Hi, Larry. What's on your mind?
How you doing? Listen, earlier, first-time caller, 6'1", 250, you're talking about the boxers, Frazier and Tyson, you know, being on top of the world and, you know, just one, bad deal and they were pretty much done. The same thing kind of happened to Rousey and MMA.
Yeah, you're right, Ronda Rousey. We talked about that. Was that Holly Holm who knocked her out? And then she was never the same after that. But it's different in that sport because there's only a couple of true contenders. You know, when you think about the weight category, you know, it's like Conor McGregor. It feels like there's five or six guys you're going to fight. And sometimes that was the way with the heavyweight division, where you'd be fighting somebody, and then 2 years later, you're fighting the same guy again. But, yeah, Holly Holm, Mike Tyson, George Foreman. When they lost more than just one fight, one bout. I was talking about comebacks in the NBA. I have the stat now. So far this season, there have been 29 comebacks from 20 or more points. That's one shy of the most in a single season in the last 28 years. The record was set last year at 30. So here we are at 29 comebacks, and it has to do with the three-point shot. You can shoot yourself into a big lead, and you can shoot yourself out of a big lead. Austin in South Carolina. Hi, Austin. What's on your mind today?
Hey, guys. 5'9", 185. Russell Wilson, going back to what you said, how much does he love football? Carolina Panthers, Dave Canales, Dan Morgan, Seahawk guys. And do you love football enough to help develop Bryce Young into that Seahawks scheme, that old Seahawks scheme?
Yeah, but the head coach has already come out and said that Carolina's not the right place for Russell Wilson. So you put an end to that. Russ, I would imagine ego-wise, says, no, I'm not going to be a backup to somebody. I'm going to be a starter. Maybe in a couple of years, I could play the role that like Joe Flacco did, or some of these, you know, Nick Foles, some of these guys, Andy Dalton, where I'm going to back up somebody, try to help them a little bit, and maybe I get some playing time. But I can't imagine Russ going, you know what, I'm going to back up Brock Purdy so I can learn from Kyle Shanahan. Can't see that happening. Going to the Rams, Matthew Stafford? Okay, I guess. But I just don't think Russ wakes up one day and goes, you know what, I can be a backup quarterback. Man, you got to reprogram yourself. It's like, you know, Cam Newton to me couldn't have been a backup quarterback because I don't think he could reprogram himself. You've been a starter, you've been a star all your life. Now all of a sudden you're going to go, okay, all right, I'm going to sit behind this guy and I'm going to help this guy. When deep down you know you're better than that guy. Whether you are or not, in your mind, you're not going to allow yourself to surrender and go, I'm going to be on the sideline. I can't imagine Russ on the sidelines. Yeah, Paul.
And then you look at a guy like Mitch Trubisky. I think he just signed with the Bills again.
Yeah.
He's going to comfortably make probably a couple million dollars a year backing up Josh Allen.
Yeah.
If he happens to get in, he's on a good team. He may get one of those opportunities like Baker Mayfield down the road, but Mitch Trubisky may say to himself, this may be it unless there's a really big opening.
Well, he has to come to the realization, or already has, that he's a backup quarterback. And, okay, he can do that for quite some time. But you have to come to that realization that you're a backup quarterback. That's the hard part, because you prepare for a game differently. Now you're preparing somebody to prepare for a game. Al in California. Hey, Al.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. All right, got a scenario here. What if the Bears trade away the first round pick, trade away Justin Fields, and go for Russell Wilson? Surround him with some weapons. Surround him with some. Surround him with a line.
Well, you'll have to be sure then that Caleb Williams is not going to be the next Patrick Mahomes. If you think he's going to be anywhere near Patrick Mahomes, you can't pass that up. And the rookie contract. Could you draft Caleb Williams and bring in Russell Wilson for a year? Now, that would be an interesting scenario. You trade away Justin Fields, you could bring in Russ, he's going to play for the veteran minimum, and you're going to draft Caleb Williams. Caleb gets to sit, watch, and you say to Russ, you have a chance to resurrect your career, and we're going to give you 1 year to do that. That's it. I don't know if he'd do it, but I would at least consider that if I thought that Russ was, you know, willing to do that. You got a 1 year deal. You're going to start. Now you can play for your next contract, your next team. 2 hours in the books, one more to go. More phone calls on the way. Update the poll results. Final hour on the way on this Thursday after this.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.